Thank you, Tom. I'd like to read the verses of a hymn, one of my favorite hymns, before I begin speaking. Can you hear me okay back out there? Okay. Hymn number 382, I Know Whom I Have Believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeem me for his own. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I praise the Lord for this hymn, as I'm sure many of you do here as well. But as I think about this hymn, and as I think about many hymns, all the hymns that we sang this morning, it was a wonder to hear all those wonderful things. There's just sometimes too much to take in because it's just so overwhelming. But one of the things, it reminds me a bit of my time when I pray sometimes. What I've done is I've taken the first line of many songs and I wrote them all out, the ones that spoke to my heart. And I have about 7 or 8 pages of them from the hymn books. And sometimes what I'll do is in my prayer time, I will recite them. And from there, I let the Holy Spirit talk to my heart. And that's how I'll pray. You know, such lines as, Lord, I know not why your wondrous grace to me he hath made known. That's so perplexing to me. Lord, why have you made it known to me? And I'll ask him. And then I'll talk about it with him. And that's my prayer times, many times. And I'll use the lines from him. So if you ever feel stuck and you need to pray, and you know you want to pray, you feel stuck, get a hymn book full of lines from other believers that you can share with and enjoy, and it'll provoke your thinking. But that's not what I'm here to speak about this morning. I wanted to talk about the essence of this hymn, and that is, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Sometimes I feel frail, and I feel as though I'm failing, and I feel as though the Lord may not be with me or around me. But I know through the Word of God and through believers like yourself that the Lord is here. The Lord is around me, even in my quietest moments. And I know these things to be true, and as I grow into them, I get closer to the Lord, and I feel as though I want to grow in the Lord. But one of the things that the Lord has shown me is that in the Word of God, when we take a word or a phrase and we follow it through the Scriptures, we can really be blessed by it. Because the Lord shows us things that perhaps we've known, but we've not known it in the way that he reveals it through the Word. So what I wanted to share with you a little bit this morning is the phrase, in Christ. I was looking through the New Testament, and there were several phrases or places that in the New Testament, the term in Christ was refreshing to me. It was enjoyable to read and to meditate upon it, and I thought I would share some of those this morning. But before I do, I would like to just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thankful, Lord, that we are in Christ. And Lord, we are looking for a blessing from thyself as we look into your word to see what it means to be in you, Lord, beyond our own comprehension, beyond our own thinking. For we are limited in our thinking. But we know through your Spirit and through the Word of God, we can reap things that we do not understand or fully understand, but that we can grow by and know your ways for us. So help us, Lord, as we look into your word this morning. We give thee thanks in your Son's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as I say, the phrase that came up is that I wanted to look at is In Christ. And one of the first ones that comes up in the New Testament is in the 2 Corinthians. If you would turn with me, let's look at that for a few minutes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm getting there. And for connection, let's begin reading from verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ. And there's another in Christ there. That doesn't necessarily imply us, but it implies God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. Praise the Lord for that. So we see here in this portion, it was brought to my attention as I was looking at it and meditating upon it, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I was thinking about the creation in Genesis chapters 1 through 3, when God created the universe and the worlds and all that are in them. And he took 6 days to create the world. And on the sixth day, he created man, the supreme being that he created, to be in his likeness. That's us. Isn't that wonderful? But God saw everything that was created and that it was good. There was only one thing that wasn't good, and that was that man should not be alone. So he created Eve. But when I think back on that creation, then Adam and Eve, what did they do? They sinned. They disobeyed God and they ate the forbidden fruit. And because of that, God saw a need for us to be newly created. So how is he going to do that? He was going to do it in Christ. We are in Christ. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in Christ. We are a new creation. And as God's old creation was good, except for the fact that man didn't have a wife, they fell. And we have all fallen as a result of that. We are all in a fallen condition. And as I recall in Ephesians chapter 2, it says we were without hope and without God in the world. That's what we were. We were without hope and without God in this world. What a terrible place to be. Some people in this world just go about their lives doing whatever they want, giving no thought to God at all whatsoever. Some may give a sprinkling of thought, but they pay no attention to what God has to say. God wants us to listen to his subtle voice. He doesn't speak in high volume like one would say, well, if God was really real, he would reveal himself to me. But he has, don't you see? Look at the creation. In every little speck, in every little thing in the universe, God has revealed himself. But what he had to do was to come up with our new creation in us. And that was to be in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus. And we're a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things are become new. And that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So God has reconciled us to himself by his Son, Jesus Christ. So with that thought in mind, it just really behooves us to think of the fact that we are special and that we are God's creation. And although we have fallen under the curse of sin, God has taken a step for us in recreating us and giving us a new hope to be with God in this world. Praise the Lord for that. One of the next ones I saw was also in 2 Corinthians, and I'd like to turn to chapter 11 and verse 3. And again, to read for connection here, chapter 11, verse 1, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The simplicity that is in Christ. What does he mean by that? Well, brothers and sisters, I'd like to suggest that what the Apostle Paul is suggesting here is that the simplicity that's in Christ is that salvation is of him and him alone. Nothing to be added to that. It's simple. It's not to be complicated for us. When we think of all the religions in the world, many of which claim to be Christian and claim to represent Christ, they expound all kinds of things that need to be done in addition to believing on Christ. But there's a simplicity in Christ, and that simplicity was secured for us for our salvation. The simplicity of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. He says here in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose it was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." So the Apostle Paul here is saying that he was the bestower of this message through the gospel, and that they were the ones that received it through faith, and that there was simplicity in the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we were to trust in him. And we can think of so many different things in the scriptures. I'll mention a couple of them. The tabernacle. The priesthood in the Old Testament, and all the things that they did in that, the tabernacle, and in the priesthood, all those things were for a shadow of what is to come. And that which is to come is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to rest in that and enjoy that, because in Christ Jesus, he has simplified God's prescription for our salvation. And he has given us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in him, and we have the simplicity of him. Another one is in Galatians chapter 3, and beginning in Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 4. "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that ye might bring us unto bondage." The Apostle Paul here is talking about the fact that the Judaizers were trying to bring them back under bondage. To whom, verse 5, "we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." And the truth of the gospel is, again, the simplicity that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all we need to do is believe on him. So when you think about the book of Galatians, we're reminded of the fact that there were those that were trying to go around and deceive them and making them think that there was something they had to add. Circumcision. And nowadays they will say baptism. There were some that will say baptism, or some will say that you have to do this or that or wear this certain thing or that certain thing to get saved. But we are not to do anything to add to the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is secured, and we have the liberty. As the Apostle Paul felt here, he had liberty to trust in Christ. And in chapter 6 of this same book, In verse 15, we have a phrase that comes back up again in verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not be consumed of one another. Oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong chapter. Chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And that's what we are in Christ Jesus. We are a new creature. And as many as walk according to this world, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So we see here that the Apostle Paul is talking about that there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, that they availeth nothing. They don't cause anything to happen to us when we get baptized or when we get circumcised. And in this case, that's what they were trying to do, is circumcise the believers. But we are to trust in him and him alone. And I'm thankful for that, that in Christ Jesus we have this new creation in us that is a simple creation, and it's simple in Christ. And we have liberty not to be brought under the law again, to have to do anything to be secure our salvation. And as we move on in here, and I wanted to look at a few more in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 2 and 6, we see, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. Yes, so we sit in heavenly places, but we're in Christ Jesus. And that's our new position. Remember our condition in the past? We were dead, without hope, without God in this world. But now we have a new position, and our new position is in Christ. He keeps it for us, and he secures us in it. And we're not in danger of anything, but we're in safe in Christ. So in verse 7 it says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that was another in Jesus, in Christ, that I found here that I thought was significant, and that is in verse 10. That we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So God has created works for us to do as an outcome of our salvation. We're not to do them for salvation. And oftentimes we use these verses to speak about that to people when we witness and we share the gospel. But this salvation is secured for us so that we may have a work to do for the Lord. And God has given that for us, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 13, we see here, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So brothers and sisters, we are brought nigh. We're brought close to God because of Christ, and in Christ. We're in Christ. And then finally in chapter 3 and verse 6, we say that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And we're partakers of his promise. And that promise is what? Eternal life, if we believe on him and trust in him and are secured in him. So we can be thankful to God that He has called us into his work, and he has given us his grace to save us through faith. Thanks be to God. And then as we look a little further into Philippians, we see in chapter 3, This is something we need to really remind ourselves daily, I think. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the Apostle Paul speaking here. And I think he encourages us to have the same attitude, because we have a high calling in God. We don't have our own calling. Sometimes I think through life we get a bit confused. We think that we have to do something special. We need to, what are you going to be when you grow up? You often hear the question when you're a youngster. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. And all those things are good. But really, the prize for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is for the high calling of God, that we are to be like him, that we are to share him with other people in this world, and we should see others be saved, sharing the gospel. So he presses towards the high mark, or the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And then he encourages them to be followers. Verse 17, brethren, be followers of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So the Apostle Paul felt like he was a good example of that, how to walk for the Lord. And as such, he wants us to follow in his steps, that we would follow after the Lord in the same way that he did. You know, I think that's a pretty high calling, but it's a good calling. And we should remind ourselves daily that we're not walking for ourselves, really. We are doing things, but we are really walking for the Lord. And we have a high calling for him. And in Colossians, we see the Apostle Paul. Again, all these are from the Apostle Paul. And you can think about his life and how he lived and how they relate to us. And in chapter 1 and verse 28, I'll read for connection. Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. What the hope of glory. This is a different one. We are in Christ. Well, this one here is telling us that Christ is in us. And this is the only time that I'm aware of, unless somebody could show me differently, I think this is the only time it comes up. Do you know of any other one, gents? You look like you had a surprise on your face there, so I wasn't sure. But if you know of another one, let me know. But the fact that Christ is in us, that adds a whole other dimension to it. This is the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. That was Paul's goal, to present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. When we think about the Apostle Paul and his desire for the saints, to live for the saints, he gave up his life, and he gave up his life for Christ. But the Lord Jesus told him that he was going to show him the many things that he might suffer for his name's sake. And we're also reminded of that in Peter, but we'll get to that one. But ultimately, his goal was to present us perfect in Christ. So when we come to God, we who believe in Christ will be presented to him as perfect. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we will not be condemned before the Lord, although we are in a condemned state when we come into this world. But we have been given new hope and a new status in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'd like to read a verse there. We're all familiar with this portion. The verse I'm looking for in particular is verse 16, but for connection I'm going to read here from verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Others which have no hope. The people all around us, the people we work with, the people we live with, the people we run into every day have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ. They have died believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have gone to their graves. But they are in Christ, and they will be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I think it behooves us to have anticipation of the fact that living our life for Christ puts us in a place to be with Christ in our death. And if we are in him in our death, then we will be with him in resurrection, as we're promised in this chapter here. What a wonderful thing to be in Christ. So we need to remind ourselves of this. And then in chapter 5, verse 18, we see in the ending part of this book, verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks." Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We have the will of Christ Jesus in God concerning us, that we have to be thankful. So that should be our attitude and our behavior, to be thankful instead of grumbling about every little thing that we can grumble about. I'm not a grumbler. I think we should be able to say that. We should be able to say that. But we do grumble. We complain to God, why did this poke me in the finger, Lord? Oh, why did that happen? Why did this happen? But so many things that happen to us, and we often ask, why this, Lord? And it just amazes me that the Lord has a reason for everything, and we should be thankful for it, even though we can't see the reason for it at the immediate time. And that's easy for me to say, and it sounds cliche, but I really truly think that it's important that we are thankful for everything from the Lord. And this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecy, prove all things, and hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. The next one I come up with is in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1. And verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, the promise of life. What a greeting, the promise of life. He opens up with this letter to Timothy. It's really personalized, which the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. The promise of life is not in things that we do, or whatever healings we can get from the medical associations or whatever. Our promise for life is in Christ Jesus, and that's eternal life. Praise the Lord that we have this promise. And then in verse 9 we see he saved us with a purpose, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus, Christ Jesus, before the world began. Imagine, he thought of us before the world even began. So how much more is he thinking about us now? We sang this song earlier about that his eye is on the sparrow. Oftentimes I think of that. His eye is on the sparrow, and I'll see a sparrow out in the grass, flying around, tweeting. And God thinks about the sparrow. How much more will he think of me? How much more will he think of you? The important thing is that we are in Christ. And he's called us according to his purpose and his grace. Praise the Lord. The grace that God has given us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 13, we see another verse here. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. In faith and in love. Which is where? It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. We have faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for that. And then in chapter 2, we see another one. I noticed that the 2 Timothy has probably the most that really relate to us individually. In Christ comes up many other times, but the ones that personally affect us, I've decided to look at. But in chapter 2, verse 10, we see, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. We're going to have eternal glory with Christ Jesus. That's hard to imagine. Imagine that, being glorified with Christ. I'm just so thankful. It is a faithful saying, for we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. But if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, because he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, and charge them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Then he tells Timothy to study here. And then we see in the last one in Timothy is in chapter 3, verse 12. We have an encouragement here to live godly. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we can expect that. If we are to live godly in Christ Jesus, which the Lord wants us to do, we will suffer persecution. And then in the last one here, time is running out, but I want to point this out, is in Philemon, the littlest book, verse 23. There, salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul looked at Epaphras as his fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a thought. Can we say that we're his fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus? And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 3. This is the one by Peter that I found. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. Actually, we'll begin at 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do we have that attitude around people that they begin to wonder about what the hope is that's within us? He goes on to say, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So Peter saw the need for us to have a good conversation, or a good life, good attitude in our lives, so that others would see that, and that they would be possibly encouraged to ask us, what is that hope that's within us, so that we could witness to them and share with them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I share these few thoughts with you, hoping that you will realize, and as I do, and as I am enjoying the fact that being in Christ, we have these wonderful things that God has given to us. We are a new creation. We have the simplicity that's in Christ. We have a liberty that's in Christ, because we don't have to keep up good works. We're his new creation. We sit together in heavenly places. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're made nigh by being in Christ, and we're partakers of his promise. We have a high calling of God, and Paul wanted to see us be presented perfect. and that we, if we are dead in Christ, we will rise with him and give thanks for the will of God, the promise of life, and he saved us with a purpose, and he gives us faith and love and grace and salvation with eternal glory. Live godly and suffer persecution. And that we could be a fellow prisoner, and ultimately we have a good conversation before our Lord, and that others will see, and that we could be a testimony for them. And then finally, just remember that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We're safe in Christ. But Christ is in us. Christ is in us. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we thank the Lord for that. Let me just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise thee and thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for this phrase in the scriptures that speaks about being in Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory. Help us, O Heavenly Father, to live up to these standards and these few things for us to remember, to share the hope that we have with others. We give thee thanks and praise and just pray for your blessing upon us as we leave this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.